This is Cheryl Deco, president of Bezalel Books and author of the fiction book Elizabeth, A Holy Land Pilgrimage, here to remind you to take your vitamins today. That's your Catholic vitamins, A through Z, with Deacon Tom and his lovely wife, Dee.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace the change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hello, Dee and Deacon Tom. This is Jim from Colorado. I hope you're doing well. What a blessing your show is. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed Vitamin M for Mission Squared. And I'd like to be in the drawing for the book. And if I recall, there was another drawing just the show before. Now I can't forget, but I wanted that one too. So go ahead and put me in, or maybe you put in my sister's name because she's luckier than I am. So you can put in Jean Holman instead, and then she can share it with me. Hope you guys have a wonderfully blessed day. Take care. I enjoy the show. Bye now.
Thank you, Jim Baker, and we will put your name in one of Dee's. Oh, hi, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamin. Well, not you, because you're here all the time, or virtually all the time. Right.
And I think Jim has a great idea.
What's that?
We should put him in under his sister's name, because she sure does win quite a bit.
Well, she's a faithful listener, and we love faithful listeners. You know, speaking of listeners, we've had some new people contacting us in recent weeks, and we're so blessed and happy to have new listeners joining Catholic Vitamins. We are Tom and Dee. Our alias is the Bickersons. I'm going to put that comic that I have of the couple driving in the car, and the wife says, "I think we're lost," and the husband says, "Who's driving?" "We're not lost." She says, "Please let's stop for directions." He says, "We're not lost." And then the final panel is the wife saying, "Dear God, give me
strength or patience or something."
Yeah, and the husband's praying for something to put up with her. So there you go. Well, welcome to Catholic Vitamins. Our show today is on Catholic Vitamin N.
We didn't announce that.
No, go.
Catholic Vitamins. Vitamin N. Now. With our guest, Justin Stroh. And this is episode 102.
Wow, really?
Yes.
It's continuing to build up there. So our theme for this show is now, and I'm going to do a mini reflection on that a little bit later. Our contributor from Ireland, Fergal O'Neill, all the way from Ireland. Isn't this awesome?
I think it's wonderful. And I love an Irish accent.
Yes, you've said that before. I hope he never sends a picture because you may just... At any rate, Fergal...
Are we ever going to get to Ireland?
Oh, I sure hope so. I sure hope so.
That's one of the trips we sort of have in our bucket list, isn't it?
It is. At any rate, Fergal O'Neill has become a kind of contributor for Catholic Vitamins all the way from Ireland, and he's got a little bit longer reflection on now, and then our main guest, as Dee said, is Justin Stroh, and we're going to talk about World Youth Day, and we're going to complete our discussion and the wonderful information that he shares about World Youth Day with zooming in on the word now.
So instead of him having a evangelization contribution on our show as he usually does, he's the main course today.
He is. And then we have Teresa Doyle Nelson with another one of her wonderful segments. So that's our Catholic Vitamins. You've got something in your hand.
Well, because of our N vitamin, Greg Gorman wrote in, as he usually does, and guesses, and I like his guesses sometimes. He goes, A-E-I-O-U. N-I-W. Not a word.
So he was trying to guess the Catholic Vitamin
not
Scrabble.
Not a word. N-U-W. Not a word. N-A-W. Two negative.
Yeah.
N-E-W could be. N-O-W could be. I'm going with new, but I won't be surprised if it is now.
Boing!
Seems like much of our lives we're postponing things that we should be doing now. But then again, so much that Jesus did for us was to make us new again. So I'm sticking with new. Blessings, Greg Gorman.
Well, thank you. Good email and good guessing, but wrong guess. So we can't put your name in the basket. Well, in keeping with our theme of now, one of the first contributors to Catholic Vitamins for music was Jody Ganant. Before we even did our first show, I had asked her if we could borrow some of her music, and she said, of course you can. And we're going to play a song from her album, Pivot, and it's called Great Day. And then I'll be back with a short reflection on the word now. And then we'll bring up Teresa Doyle Nelson, so we've got lots to come.
It's just a little paper clip, but it's enough to change my world. So take a chance, give it a spin. A little thing can change your world. Go out and have a great day. Go out and make a change. We have not yet wrote the words, and so I'm asking all of you, will you help me write the words to you? Go out and have a great day. Go out and make a change.
We have a small sign at the entry of our house. It's inside, right by a beautiful crucifix. The sign says, "This is a Catholic home." Our neighbors who live closest to us have announced they are LDS, Mormon. Now is the time for them to know that we are proudly Catholic. There are bumper stickers on the back of our two cars. The bumper stickers proclaim that we believe in pro-life, the sanctity of every life. Now is the time to let others know that the greatest battle we face isn't terrorism from Islamic extremists. The greatest threat we face is violence in the womb of a mother. When in Colorado we signed an amendment to the state constitution to protect the meaning of marriage, to be defined as a union between one man and one woman for life. In May, Mark Shea, the author and columnist and blogger, said that it was time for residents of Minnesota to defend the definition of marriage. Now is the time for us to do something, to say something, to pray something to protect marriage, and to restore and protect the family. Jesus wants to invite you back into his big, warm, and loving Catholic family, the Church, if you've been away. He founded it 2,000 years ago. He's calling you home, but the choice is yours. Now is the time to go to the Catholics Come Home website and find out that we aren't the family Christ intended us to be if you aren't a member. Yeah, we're a bit dysfunctional, and yes, we have broken members in our family. So did Jesus, by the way. But it's now time for Catholics to come home. Dear listener, dear reader, St. Paul speaks of working with Christ, We entreat you not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I've listened to you and helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Go out.
This is Teresa Doyle Nelson, author of Saints of the Bible and More Saints of the Bible. My Catholic vitamin N for today is Nahum, the saint and prophet. The spelling of this Old Testament saint's name is N-A-H-U-M. It looks like it should be pronounced Nahum or Nahum, but the H is silent. And the correct pronunciation is Nahum. Saint Nahum lived at a time in Old Testament history when the Assyrian Empire had been a constant and terrifying threat to Judah. The Assyrians had already swallowed up the nation of Israel, which left Judah uncomfortably close to the hostile empire. In his prophecy, Nahum could see that Assyria's power was soon to weaken as its capital, Nineveh, was about to crumble. Nahum's prophecies praised the fact that God would soon come to the rescue of his people. The prophet Nahum is known for his colorful words evoking powerful images, fiery steel, frenzied horses, flashing like lightning bolts, desolation, trembling knees, blanched faces, rumbling wheels, flashing spear, rubble fences, and so on. Readers can almost feel the oppression of the Assyrians about to collapse. The feast of the prophet and saint Nahum is December 1st, which typically falls during the first week of Advent. Interesting timing. Our celebration of Nahum, who gave the Judahites great hope for a better life, overlaps the beginning of Advent when we celebrate the great hope that the birth of Jesus has given us. The next time you feel ill-treated or imperiled, try opening your Bible to Nahum's book. It's not that long, only 3 chapters. The experience of the Judahites 2,600 years ago might give you the inspiration to hang on, to know that God is in the picture, to feel confident that in time all will go according to his will. May today be a day of hope for you.
Thank you, Teresa Doyle Nelson. You can look for her books, Saints of the Bible and More Saints of the Bible, and I think you'll enjoy them for sure. Next up, our interview with Justin Stroh. Well, our guest now on Catholic Vitamins is a voice that should be familiar to longtime listeners, because we've been blessed to have new evangelization segments by Justin Stroh. And today we have him as a guest. We're really blessed. Justin, welcome to Catholic Vitamins again.
It's great to be with you, Tom. And again, congratulations on the Catholic New Media Award for Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you so very much. That's kind of you. Very kind of you. And I said on the last show, you may not have heard it, but I said on the last show that we have a lot of friends in Chicago who voted and voted and voted until the ballot box was stuffed.
Well, good for them.
Yeah. Well, Justin, you know, there's always a turnover in audience and people who listen and new people joining. Tell us who Justin Stroh is.
Well, number one, I'm a son of the Father in heaven, and I'm married. My wife and I together, we have 8 children, and that's the number one focus of my life that God has given me, is to love my wife and my children and also blessed to serve in my parish here at Divine Mercy Catholic Church in Faribault, Minnesota. I serve as what we call the lead steward of communion, which basically is like a parish life coordinator. And then as a part of that ministry, or as on the side of that ministry, I'm a speaker and a musician, and I help other people throughout the country and the Catholic Church to help spread the Catholic faith. So in a whole myriad of ways, but through whatever really the Lord asks me to do. So
beautiful.
That's a little bit about me.
All right. Beautiful, beautiful. And you've been married how long?
Lynette and I have been married. It'll be 18 years this September.
You look very, very young. You've been taking the right Catholic vitamins.
Amen, brother.
All right. Well, but the excitement, the joy that I have in my heart, you know, about having you visit our show has to do with World Youth Day. So I'm going to start off with some questions about World Youth Day. And I'm going to also invite you, as your heart gets excited about talking about something, just lead us as you will. What is World Youth Day?
Well, World Youth Day is, it's not just this mega event that a bunch of people show up at. You know, everybody looks at the TV and they always see the million plus people at Mass with the Pope. And of course, that's the pinnacle event. World Youth Day, though, is really about an encounter with the Pope. And because it's an encounter primarily with Jesus Christ, the Pope is the vicar of Christ. So when young people encounter our Lord with the Pope, they get this full sense of the Church present in the world, and it gives them great hope and great joy. And that's what you're seeing on the TV shows, is these young people who are excited, and they don't even know why they're excited to see an 84, I think that's how old he is, man, you know, because they're recognizing that the presence of Christ is with the Pope, not because of the Pope, but because of Jesus Christ, who has founded the Church on Peter, and the Pope is a successor. So when these young people come together at World Youth Day, the primary focus really is that they can encounter our Lord present in the Church. And what the Pope does is he brings everybody together so that they can look at each other from all around the world and recognize that Christ is present also, of course, in every single person. And so that's the delight, that's the joy on their faces that everybody's seeing. The World Youth Day is really all about the Church gathering together and proclaiming how great our Lord is.
Yeah, it reminds me of that song, "How Great Is Our God."
Amen.
You know, not to deflect, but for just a moment, Dee and I went to a general audience with Holy Father Blessed John Paul in 2004 it was. And one of the teaching things that happened from my first and as of now only participation in such event was to be with Catholics of all different nationalities and to see the joy that we all felt in coming together. It was just so powerful, so moving. What can you tell us about getting ready and the travel over there, or maybe about the images as you first arrived?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the getting ready part, we had 30 pilgrims from our parish, of which I was leading, and then 92 from our archdiocese. And the preparation really consists of, you know, learning some basic Spanish, what to pack and what not to pack. Did I mention what not to pack? And, you know, what to leave behind. And then what to expect, you know, what to expect of God, but also of ourselves. You know, sometimes you get in the World Youth Day is not just an incredible experience. It's also an intense experience. And the intensity of that has to be prepared for. So we're often trying to help our pilgrims, you know, get ready to be in a crowd of a million people. What is that like? And so I don't know how you really prepare for that, and we haven't really found an effective way yet except just to pray the rosary. But when we get to World Youth Day, the first thing you see when you get off the plane, and it depends on when you go, because you can go to the event that happens before World Youth Day, which is called Days in the Diocese, which is kind of like a, you know, you're in a town that's nearby where the World Youth Day is going to be held. The local bishop there holds usually a mass together with the pilgrims, and then local parishes host you. And we were in a parish that hosted our 92. 10,000 to 15,000 people and who are coming to this ancient cathedral in Valencia. And so the first thing you see when you get there for us was we got off the bus and this parish was ready to host us. And so we're walking down these little streets, these cobblestone streets, and this old church is there and they're ringing the bells. And these are real bells, not digital bells like we have here in the United States, you know. And and they're ringing them, and this youth group is out front, and they have this little band, and they're playing this music that is just their custom as we walk in and come into their social hall, and then they greet us there. And that was our first impression, you know, of really our pilgrimage, to be greeted by the people of Valencia, and it was really beautiful. I mean, our group was actually kind of taken back. We didn't expect that, you know, so it was a beautiful thing.
Amen. Amen. Gosh. Just out of curiosity, how did you make the arrangement for the connection with that church or cathedral that you went to?
Yeah, when we signed up for Days in the Diocese, they assign us to a parish, and it's just luck of the draw.
Okay.
So you get there, and you don't really know what's going to happen until you get there, and that's part of the whole like preparation stuff that we talk about with everybody. You know, what does it mean to be a pilgrim? And, you know, a pilgrim often doesn't know what's going to be around the next corner.
We'll come back quickly to the holy and beautiful aspects of World Youth Day, but just as a sidebar, people might wonder what the facilities were like that you had or didn't have as you were trying to sometimes sleep or whatever.
Sometimes sleep, that's a good way of putting it. You know, it can differ depending on what you sign up for, too. But we signed up for simple accommodations for our Days in the Diocese part. And then when we got to World Youth Day proper, we stayed at a hostel. And a hostel is somewhere between a gym floor and a hotel. And you never know what you're going to get with these hostels, too, because some of these hostels are very well run and some aren't, you know, and you might get to a place where in fact, part of our group was in a place where we were pretty frustrated with the hostel, but, you know, that was, the Lord was inviting us to, you know, and then you kind of say, okay, what's the spiritual side of this and this penance, of course, so we got to learn to offer some of that up, but, yeah, so it highly depends on what you sign up for. Some people, when they sign up for World Youth Day, they do sign up for strictly simple accommodations, and they are on a gym floor somewhere, and they don't even know usually where they're going to be until maybe a month ahead or 2 weeks ahead in some cases. This is my 7th World Youth Day, so there was 1 year where I didn't know until a week ahead where we were staying. And that can be a little unnerving for some parents who are either chaperones or not, you know. But I warned them ahead of time that's what they're signing up for, so hopefully they know.
All right. Could you, you know, I read your overview from one of the great moments, touching holy moments that happened, and yeah. I'll let you tell the story. But I think it was on a Catholic news agency that I saw something that must have been about this, where the Holy Father led benediction and adoration before 1.4 or 1.5 million. People. I mean, just it sounds so awesomely beautiful.
It is. You know, we've all been to adoration, I hope, you know, and for those that haven't been to adoration before, it's really, we are in the presence of our Lord, truly present in the Eucharist. And of course, that's always, always good, you know. When you're at World Youth Day with 1.5 million people, it's not only good, it's wow, you know, this is really unique. So how did we get to that point? There's a final mass with the Pope, which is that big picture you usually see on the news. This year it was close to 2 million, actually, was the number you're floated around now. And but what precedes that big picture is about 30 hours of pilgrimage from various locations within the city of Madrid. We left from the Plaza de España, which is about 6 miles from the Cuatro Vientos, which is this big air park where they held it. It was an old military air park, and which had been converted to space. So we're walking 6 miles together with backpacks, ready to sleep overnight, and excited, singing songs, trying to find a bathroom, and just trying to get make sure that everybody's hydrated, you know. And we leave. We left at 7 a.m. in the morning, so pretty early, knowing that we needed to leave that early if we wanted to walk in a cooler time of day as well as get to a good location. So we're walking, and we finally get to Cuatro Vientos. And as you're entering, there are hundreds of thousands of people entering as well. And they have a huge gate that you enter through. And as you come in, you suddenly realize I could really get separated from everybody in my group and not know where I am.
Yeah.
And so there's a little fear, you know, that enters, you know, and so we kind of train everybody for this so they know how to regroup. But anyway, after that we go and we get our food. So you go to the special food station and you give your voucher that's in your backpack that you got when you signed up, and they give you a sack of food that's supposed to last you for 30 hours, and it's all sorts of stuff in there, from a ham Subway sandwich, which in Spain style is basically a long piece of bread with one little slab of ham in there.
Oh.
Anyway, so all sorts of food, and then we take our food and we go to our section, which is on our pass. Our section was E7, so it's just a big area. And it's first come, first serve as far as where you end up in there. Now, we get there, and we're there around noon, and the hottest part of the day is yet to come. And it's about 100, it gets to about 110, they say some say we're 115 degrees. And I have not been outside in that kind of heat ever in my life. And so we're just trying to keep our group hydrated. So we're sending people out to the water station where they have water, keep our bottles full, and these water stations are just these huge oval spigots, you know. So you just picture a large oval table, for example, with about 20 or so spigots and about 500 to 1,000 people around it. It's maddening when you first get up to it because you just say to yourself, how will I ever get any water? and then you begin to see the body of Christ in action. People letting other people go first, people filling up their water bottle and just pouring it over somebody's head, you know, so that they could stay cool. Somebody filling up a water bottle and just giving it to somebody else and then going back and waiting in the line again. Mm. It took me about 30 minutes to walk to get from the back to the front to fill up about 15 water bottles to bring them back to my group. And when you get back, everybody, you're trying to manage, okay, how's everybody doing in the group and is everybody okay? And our group of 30 was stayed healthy, so that was good. So anyway, you get to the end of the day, and you're pretty pooped just because of the heat, you know? You're just so grateful that the sun is actually setting. And so the sun sets, and the Pope arrives, and people are excited. The Pope's driving through the crowd, so a new energy comes into this crowd of close to 2 million. And the Pope comes up to the front stage that they had built, and the stage is like looks like a huge river. And a tree that is growing in the middle, which was part of the theme, you know, planted, built up in Christ, firm in the faith. And the Pope comes forward and he begins to lead the prayers, the beginning prayers, and then three young people come forward who are pre-selected and ask three questions, and they're the deep questions of life. And in response to these questions, the Holy Father usually gives a short homily. Well, this time around, they actually read a gospel before he did that, which is not totally unusual. But they read from John chapter 15, which is, I am the vine, you are the branches. And then, right at the end of the conclusion of that gospel, an electrical storm broke out. And, I mean, it wasn't just like a nice little spring zephyr. it was a real storm. I mean, it was, a thunderstorm warning type storm, you know. And I was looking around, there are people running around, getting all nervous and right away. And I saw a bunch of people just leaving the park. I mean, there were people that just didn't, were afraid, and so they left. and or they tried to get to a shelter, a nearby shelter. But then there was the majority of the people who stayed and cheered. And that was, you know, they were like a fireworks show or something, you know. And the lightning is going throughout the sky, and the Pope is just silent. He doesn't say anything at this point. He just kind of looks as if he were allowing this to happen, you know. And then the wind kicked up, and there were gale force winds. And I would say, I don't know, 40 mile per hour winds, must have been 60, because there was a whole tent, a huge tent on the side that had the Blessed Sacrament in it that was actually toppled over. They had a million hosts consecrated in this tent that were to be distributed the next day. And those, they said all those hosts were lost.
Oh my heavens.
Yeah. That's a tragedy, of course, but really like a sign, a profound sign. And so of course we don't know that's what's happening during this windstorm, because you're just sitting there going, okay, stay steady, you know, and you're in the middle of a huge field where your mom always told you don't stand up in the field where there's lightning, right? You know,
right.
You're wondering, what do you do? But the rain then pours down, and it pours, and this goes on for 20 minutes, and people are, again, for 20 minutes, are really cheering and clapping and yelling, you know, Benedetto for the Pope, you know, Saint Benedict. Or another famous saying that they had in Spanish was, you know, we are the youth of the Pope.
Mm.
It's just beautiful. Like, again, very affirming. So the storm stops, and the Pope says just a short sentence to everybody. Now, again, he has a whole homily planned, and he doesn't give it. He doesn't give the homily. All he says to the young people is, you have resisted the storm and remain firm, something along those lines. And he thanked them for that.
Isn't that beautiful?
And then he just silently gets up, walks off the stage and into the back, and he disappears. And you think, okay, is he leaving? What's going on? And he walks back out, and he's in these beautiful gold vestments, you know, Spanish gold, you know. And he's holding in his hands the Blessed Sacrament. And, of course, the crowd just falls completely silent. And he places the Blessed Sacrament in this traditional, beautiful, large monstrance that has actually risen out of the bottom of the stage, you know, by some hydraulic system, because it's so big. And they place the Blessed Sacrament in there, and everyone kneels, and for 10 minutes, close to 2 million people are silently adoring our Lord, and the storm is gone.
Wow.
Just complete silence. The priest next to me, Father Tom Wilson, said, you know, I've been through a lot of things in my life. I will remember this for the rest of my life.
Amen. Oh, wow.
And so here we are. The Pope he's literally like steering this great ark, the Church, into the harbor of Christ. As we gaze on the Lord, it's as if the Lord is on the Sea of Galilee, looking at Peter and saying, "Don't be afraid. Just keep looking at me."
Yeah.
And Peter is leading the rest of us out there into that great Sea of Galilee. And we did. We went there with him, and you can tell that the crowd was deeply, profoundly affected by this. At the time, you know, you're just like, I want to go to bed. I'm tired. But later on the next day, and then, you know, it took me about 3 days until I really processed what happened there and began to realize how truly that was like I had died and went to the Bible to live for about 30 hours.
Yeah. Justin, gosh, this is absolutely so beautiful. And yet I want to help move us towards the importance of what you've just described, World Youth Day, and the work that you do for our Catholic Vitamin for today. Now, can you sort of help tie this together?
Yeah, the sense of this immediate sense of being Catholic. The Pope, at the end of the Mass, inspired the young people by blessing these crucifixes he had given everybody. And they're beautiful crucifixes. I mean, they weren't like a cheap, you know, holiday item or something. You know, it was like a real nice crucifix. And as he blessed them, he said, I'm now entrusting to you, as the successor of Peter, a task, and that is to make the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ known throughout the entire world. Those are his exact words.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he wants you, Jesus wants you, to be apostles of the 21st century and the messengers of his joy. Be witnesses, courageous and without anxiety, authentic and credible. Do not be afraid to be Catholic and to be witnesses to those around you in simplicity and sincerity. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Deepen your knowledge of the gospel and bring forth abundant fruit. Faith is not a theory, he says. To believe is to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus and to live in friendship with him and fellowship with others in the communion of the church. The Eucharist, which we have just celebrated, the Pope said to us after Mass, through him our lives are rooted and built up, strong in the faith, with confidence. Now depart from Madrid and tell everyone that you've seen and heard. Respond with joy to the Lord's call. Follow him and remain always united to him. You will bear much fruit, prophesied the Pope. You have met Jesus Christ. You will be swimming against the tide of society with relativistic culture, which wishes neither to seek nor hold on to the truth. But it was for this moment in history, now, this moment, with its great challenges and opportunities, that the Lord sent you so that through your faith, the good news of Jesus Christ might continue to resound throughout the entire world. So that's the now. You know, I mean, he says it's for this moment, right now, is what we, that's an actual Catholic vitamin. Because if you think about it, for centuries, Catholics have thought to themselves, Jesus is coming now. You know, it's not, we don't say when. We're not always so concerned about the when. We're always saying, Maranatha, come now. Come, Lord Jesus, right now. And we have an expectant faith that is yoked to this great hope, who is our Lord. He himself is the hope. And so we go out and we want to love, and so the way we love is to exclaim that he is the Lord, and with great joy and excitement, as the Pope has asked us to do.
We've been so blessed to have your short new evangelization segments on Catholic vitamins, and we've had maybe 10 of them, I'm going to just off the top of my head say, and you're helping to share something that I try to do when I preach related to this topic, that what the Holy Father is saying to young people is not a message to young people, it's a message to the church, it's to everybody. Now is the time for us to bring Christ to the world. And I thank you.
People often ask me, you know, how old is too old to go to World Youth Day? And I always say, well, the Pope's 84, and he's there.
Yeah. You know, before we started recording, I mentioned that that we had two pieces of music. One you shared with me was your two lovely daughters and a song they're doing called He Loves Me. And we'll have that in the show. Maybe we'll close our interview time with that. And then at the end of the show, we'll play your wonderful song, I Believe. Can you say anything about your daughters about I Believe?
You know, again, my primary vocation is marriage. And with that comes children and openness to life. And my two beautiful daughters have chosen to be open to the life of the Spirit in them. And in doing that, they've begun writing music. They've been writing music for about 6 years. They're now 17 and 16 years old, and I've chosen to make their talents available to the Spirit. This song, He Loves Me, was inspired by my daughter Catherine was inspired after my wife and I had miscarried one of our children, and we told them about this. Actually, we were on a mission trip, and my wife was back home when she had the miscarriage. And when we got home, we had to tell them, and we had a funeral. Our pastor was kind to have a funeral, and that whole experience, she just could see that the Lord was really working through all of the difficult things, and in all of these difficult things, he was showing, really saying, "I love you. I love you." So that's what that song is really about. It's a beautiful song. And my daughters have just committed their way to spreading that.
Wonderful. We'll end our interview time coming out with that song. And then tell us about I Believe.
Yeah, I Believe is a song I actually wrote some years ago. The song is really about the struggle of faith. Faith is, we often think, you know, that when somebody says they believe, that they've got a whole package of faith, that they really are the strongest person they've ever met, you know. But my experience has always been, and this is definitely my own experience, and I think as I meet others, I hear this, that faith is a struggle. It's something that I at first I'm not sure whether what I'm doing is right or not, and I'm constantly questioning it. I'm doubting. I have real doubts. But when I reach out into the heart of Christ, as Thomas did, I can say, you know, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And that faith is really a mustard seed, which is why our Lord put it that way. You know, it really is small. I'm you know, in my faith, I'm a poor beggar before God. And I just keep begging him for more faith, you know. Teach me to believe, Lord. I believe. Just affirm it. I believe it. And so that's what that world, the World Youth Day message was, to be firm in faith. So when I thought, I said, you know, that would be a good song to share. I believe.
Justin Stroh, what a great guest you've been for the Catholic Vitamin of now. We know that you are very, very, very busy and have a lot going on. I hope from time to time, or as often as you can, that you'll continue to share new evangelization segments with us that we can include them with our show. And we will keep you in prayer.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you, Justin.
And with your spirit.
Thank you.
His love blooms around me. His arms, they go around me. I can't help but intercept his amazing love. His love springs forth at the break of dawn. I can't help but sing along. He loves me, he loves me. From the top of the sky to the depths of the sea, his love surrounds.
Spending some time catching up on all the news which is filtering through from the success that was World Youth Day 2011, I was very moved and heartened to read that more than 1 million young Catholics learned, albeit the hard way, about a venerable Catholic tradition, spiritual communion, or the communion of desire. After a wild storm on August 20th, Spanish police had no option but to collapse the tents where most of the unconsecrated hosts for the next morning's Mass were being kept. Without the hosts in the tents, organisers only had 500 ciboriums holding 200 hosts each. They were consecrated by the Pope at Mass on August 21st and distributed to pilgrims in the section closest to the altar. distributing communion to just 100,000 people out of 1.5 million meant that almost everyone at Mass that day did not receive Holy Communion, that is, in sacramental form. Out of this seemingly disastrous event came the teaching about the tradition of making a spiritual communion. In the 1700s, St. Alphonsus Liguori wrote a special prayer for spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe you are really here in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you more than anything in the world, and I hunger to receive you. But since I cannot receive communion at this moment, feed my soul, at least spiritually. I unite myself to you now as I do when I actually receive you. This, of course, is a powerful prayer that spiritually affects unity between the earthly pilgrim and the pilgrim God. Yes, almost all did not receive the consecrated host, but all were instructed to declare their desire to receive the Eucharist and unite their suffering of that moment with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Back at home, continuing waves of scandals continue to knock the Church and her faithful in the same manner as the waves of the storm knocked the bark of Peter. One after the other, the scandals come as great waves hammering down, and in their wake leave confusion, criticism, and despair. Yet great wisdom is to be gained from remembering the story of the apostles battling the storm in the boat on the lake, whilst Jesus sleeps at the helm. The disciples, perhaps as a last-ditch attempt to be saved, realize that in order to have any escape from impending disaster, they must awaken Christ and bring him into the moment. Master, Master, we're going down. Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. The present moment experienced by those who strive to live a life based on faith in Christ always contains a challenge. Yet even amongst the most trying times, where hope has every excuse to flee, we are provided with glimpses of renewal and recreation. Perhaps we are visited by one who, as they travel through the bitter valley of our difficult moments, make it a place of springs. Or perhaps we experience a sudden unexpected change of events, as in the preceding gospel story. Or the expected negativity never materializes. No matter what the change, this is exactly where God is active. This is the moment where the Spirit of Jesus gently reassures our souls, calling out, "Courage, I have overcome the world." Whilst it is impossible to ignore the difficulties and scandals of the past, it is equally impossible to take them in isolation without coupling together the lessons they have taught us, the signs of the present times, and the hope for the future that is carried as a delicate embryo within a seed. As Ireland is increasingly swamped with the fruits of evil actions, the present conditions also seem to be favourable to new life. For the first time in Irish history, the permanent diaconate is being introduced, a prophetic development within the Irish Church that sees her send out in her name men whose vocation it will be to care and attend to the very ones that were forgotten and alienated and mistreated during her darker days. This Sunday will see the introduction of the new translation of the Roman Missal. The hope is that the new translation will help all of us to pray at our best. In the words of Liturgium Authenticum, by means of words of praise and adoration that foster reverence and gratitude in the face of God's majesty, his power, his mercy, and his transcendent nature, the translations will respond to the hunger and thirst for the living God that is experienced by the people of our own time. The new translation, indeed, is a response to the needs of this current moment in history. I too believe that the Eucharistic Congress will also play a critical part in the ongoing healing, reparation, and renewal called for by the Holy Father in his pastoral letter to the Irish Catholics. The theme of the Congress is the Eucharist, communion with Christ and with one another, and it will take place in Dublin in 2012. We need communion with Christ and with one another if healing and renewal is to become possible. We need to rediscover the value of good neighbourliness, of working for others, of being part of and contributing to vibrant communities, The Eucharistic Congress again is an opportunity to do all these things. It is the virtue of hope that sustains the now in our lives, no matter how difficult they might appear to be. The hope of a better day, of a better result, of a good response, and of course the hope of everlasting life. It is the present moment that gives us the chance to invite Christ into the melee that is our day. And so, as we become aware of this present moment we are in, let us pray. Dear God, I spend so much time reliving yesterday or anticipating tomorrow that I lose sight of the only time that is really mine, the present moment. You give today one moment at a time. That's all I have. It's all I ever will have. Give the faith which knows that each moment contains exactly what is best for me. Give me the hope which trusts you enough to forget past failings and future trials. Give the love which makes every moment an anticipation of eternity with you. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.
Well, that awesome reflection was from our newest contributor from Ireland, Fergal O'Neill. And we'll put a link to his connectivity, his blog over in Ireland, in our show notes on our blog page for this show. We also want to thank Mary Claire and Catherine Stroh for contributing beautiful voices and beautiful homemade music. He loves me. And we would like to have you come visit us in Arizona. It would be a real gift for sure.
Talent seems to run in that family.
For sure, for sure. Let's see. I had an email here. Dear Deacon Tom and Dee, this is from Brenda in Illinois, and she says, congratulations on winning the best spiritual podcast category at the Catholic New Media Awards. You certainly deserve it. Your mix of loving, humorous, bantering, is that like what we do?
Well, bantering sounds better than bickering.
With each other, interesting guests, thought-provoking Vita Minutes, and nice music is a positive influence against our secular busy world. Congratulations also on your 100th Catholic Vitamins. That's great. Thank you. Congratulations on your new home. Good luck with the unpacking and have fun organizing and finding new spots for all of your things. Don't misplace your microphone, she means, and the Catholic vitamin necessities. I've not had much luck in guessing Vita Scrabble this summer. M totally stumped me, so that was a good one. I am glad to hear there's a part two. Great idea. I'd also like to enter the drawing for Jim Burnham's apologetics books. I'll mention those in just a second. God bless you both, and thank you for all you do, Brenda. And Brenda, we have honored your prayer intention. And for all of our friends and any special needs that anyone has, please contact us, and Dee and I will honor those prayer intentions when we do evening prayer together just about every evening.
I've got a couple more pieces of feedback. Get them in before we finish here. This one's from Allison Ziegler. Dear Deacon Tom and Dee, I was just catching up on my podcast again and wanted to drop you a note and congratulate you both on reaching your 100, now 101, episode. Thank you for continuing to produce Catholic Vitamins so that your listeners can benefit. And while I'm at it, I want to also congratulate you for winning the award for Most Spiritual Podcast at the Catholic New Media Awards. I know my congratulations are a little late, but my sentiments are sincere nonetheless. I truly enjoy listening to Catholic Vitamins and never fail to find something to think about long after I've listened to each show.
All right.
Thank you, Allison.
I appreciate that. And I have in my right hand, I don't know if you were done, but I just jumped in here. I have in my right hand Jim Burnham's book on apologetics. It's very thin, as I said before on the show when we had Jim for Mission 1 and Mission 2. You can wrap your mind around this. This book is called How to Explain and Defend the Real Presence of Christ in the Eucharist. It's by Father Frank Chacone and by Jim Burnham. And there is a foreword by Mark Shea in this. And this comes to us from our friends at San Juan Catholic Seminars. And we have three of these, and we're giving each one away free. Just send in your name to catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
And we're going to draw for that on September the 18th, that weekend. So there's still a little bit of time. I've already got quite a few slips of paper in that basket.
And let me do the phone number, 206-350-3789. So you can use that number to say Jim Burnham book, or you can use that to guess Catholic Vitamins, the Scrabble.
Scrabble.
Yeah. Go ahead. You're
up. How about email? They can email.
No,
too.
I did that already.
Oh, you did that already. Okay. Am I not listening?
No, you're not. No. Anything else?
Well, one more. Oh, you wrote and asked David Sweeney from the Catholic Family podcast whether the fires in Texas were anywhere near them. And he wrote back, we had one about 1.5 miles from our house this weekend. Ooh, that is very close. But it was put out quickly by our extremely efficient volunteer fire department. These fires are terrible. We really need rain, and there is none in the forecast for at least 10 days. Please pray for rain. David Sweeney.
Okay. You're in our prayers, David. And Allison.
And Allison, family. Too. And sure. The whole family. We right. love them. We love them all. We have a new name. This is kind of new to us. Tiffany. I don't even know how to try to pronounce this. Lewandowski?
Yeah, Lewandowski.
I'm sorry if I ruined it, Tiffany.
I think she's Irish.
Just says, love the podcast. I've been listening for a while now, and I'm a new Catholic, about 4 months now.
Oh, congratulations. Welcome home.
Probably 5 months now. And newly married, and really enjoy the show.
We've done a lot of work with pre-marriage and newly married couples, so congratulations, and you're in our hearts and prayers.
And when we're not reading books or giving away books, we're always trying to watch something, and we finished watching Lost a while back, and Susan Craycraft just recently put on Facebook wanted to know what we were watching now.
EWTN followed by
24.
All right,
we're in the fourth season of 24 right now.
You have a Vita Minute?
I have a Vita Minute, but before that I have to do Vita Scrabble.
All right, how does Vita Scrabble work, new listeners?
I give a clue for the next vitamin for you to guess. You have a week to guess, and Tom's already given you the feedback number or the email address to give us your guess. If we throw the correct ones into a basket and we draw a name. We didn't have any correct ones this week.
We had some guesses, but they weren't correct ones. And
new.
I think several people picked new.
New, yeah. That was it. Okay, so vitamin O is next. Catholic vitamin O. That's different than just a plain old vitamin O.
Right.
Starts with O, ends in N, as in Norman. 11 letters.
Ooh, a long one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Catholic vitamin O on the next show ends in N, and there are 11 letters. Get your thinking caps on. And Dee's going to bring up a vitamin to end our Catholic vitamin show.
And this goes along with the fact that we give away a lot of books on this show. And this is these are words from Catherine Doherty from my Madonna House meditation calendar. Books can console, uplift, heal, bring hope, bring faith, and bring people back to the faith they have lost. Books are friends and companions always at hand for the lonely. They are God's gift. The apostolate of books as an apostolate of love is number one in my mind. If love has tools, this is it.
All right. Thank you for picking that, Dee. And after we do our regular close, we'll have the music of Justin Stroh, the song that he wrote, I Believe. So I think that's it for now.
Or this time.
Yeah, for now. Catholic vitamin.
Now.
Got it?
Duh.
Gosh. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
Lord, I find it hard to be faithful. And so I plead for your mercy. What does it mean to have faith in you?
And die.